the Birds, Bob Belts, Bo Mitchell welcome you to this Sunday morning.
You know who wrote the song?
No.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan wrote this?
Yeah.
How do I not know that?
You were playing too much basketball when I was listening to you.
What member of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young is singing on this song?
Nash, Graham Nash.
You sure?
Is it David Crosby?
That's what I was going to say. We don't know what we're talking about, folks.
Not at
Welcome
all.
To the show.
Once again.
Glad you're listening. Thousands of people listening today to me, Bo Mitchell, and my co-host Bob Belts. Bob, you had a good week?
I've had a great week and glad to be back with you and on a Sunday morning. Looking forward to church at Highline later.
What time's church start today?
10:15.
And you're preaching. 10:15. If you're thinking today about visiting St. Mattress, which is a favorite church of a lot of people that sleep in, get up. Go to church, 10:15, Colorado Boulevard in Hamden. Bob Belts teaching on the book of Revelation. You want to know how the world's going to end? He's getting ready to tell you.
Yep. Make sure you go a block south of Hamden, or you'll end up at some place that might not be telling you much of anything about
Revelation.
Oh, yeah.
This is called Highline Community Church.
We're in the summit. We're in the summit. Two churches in that building now.
In the summit. That's cool. So why do we do this show?
We do this show so that we can introduce our guests to some of the great folks in our city that are doing great things. And oftentimes, listeners end up kind of getting plugged in somehow. And we believe that if they will, that as the title of the show says, they'll get the blessing.
Amen. So you're going to be blessed today, folks. Stay right there. You might want to get out of bed, Paul. Marge, get some coffee. Who else?
I don't know.
Frank. Nancy, we know you listen. Thanks for tuning in, but get out of bed, get some coffee.
We actually have four people listening now?
Thousands,
yeah,
I'm
okay.
telling you.
All right.
As far as we know,
yeah.
This show, our show and this studio and what we do here is in the center of the surrounding area, which is a little known fact. That alone makes us popular.
That's kind of the one
Think
thing
about
we have
it.
Going for
Historically
us.
Proven.
All right.
So,
moving on
to our guest.
Introduce
coach.
Our guest.
I love CCU because I love Bill Armstrong, and I love Chuck King, and I love Shannon Dreyfuss, and I know those guys are hard at work building a new campus out there. But our coach.
I just got to speak at their chapel just a month
what?
Or so ago.
I've never been asked to speak at chapel. Bill Armstrong, if you're listening, thanks a lot for the friendship. But we've got the women's basketball coach today, Tim Hayes, is our guest. Tim, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
How old are you, Tim?
Not old enough, but still too old. 35.
35. Wow. I got children that are 40. So that means that means this could be it
Dad,
for me.
Dad, no.
That's old. I love basketball. I learned on the driveway in Oklahoma City. And tell me a little about your love for basketball and how you wound up as a CCU coach.
Yeah, a little bit different journey. Came from, played at Boise State in the great state of Idaho, and found that, you know, ultimately I wanted to be in ministry, but I also just loved to compete. And that took my wife and I all over the world. We ended up coaching and playing professionally in Australia for about 5 years. And, you know, that was something that we really enjoyed. We got to be around some of the best athletes in the world in women's basketball. And then we kind of hit a point where we ultimately said...
You were playing women's basketball?
No, hey, you never know. Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Take it slow here. I got a track with this.
Hey, this was before
my
the operation.
Wife, my wife. That was a little fuzzy, wasn't it?
No, yeah. I'm with right. you, but I thought, good for you if you could pull it off.
You know, I would probably make more money doing that. I don't know.
So she was a player.
She was a player, great player, you know, and an all-pro type. And so I kind of followed her around and ended up coaching quite a bit. And actually ended up coaching her for 5 seasons. So it was really kind of a neat scenario. And most of the time didn't get in trouble with her.
So wait a minute. You were able to tell your wife what to do and she did it?
On the basketball court.
We have discovered the secret.
Gee,
you have to.
We needed to meet this guy years ago.
Wow. On the basketball court. Right. You know, off right. it was all fair game off the court.
All right.
So how did you two come to Christ?
You know, my journey started very, very young. Grew up in a Christian home. You know, it was awesome. A little town in Oregon. And So I was raised in the church, but really made it my own, my faith my own when I was in college, and realized as a college athlete how many struggles I had gone through, and what that really meant, that it wasn't just going to church on Sunday. It was ultimately understanding who Christ was in my life and the significance of his sacrifice and how that needed to impact my life in every area. And so that's, you know, that's really my journey is, you know, I grew up knowing the right answers and got to college and really figured out there was a lot more to a relationship than just having the right answers.
So how'd you wind up at CCU then coaching women's basketball? I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, you know, when my wife and I were overseas and doing the professional thing, we were offered a lifetime contract and kind of a unique thing there. And they want us to stay and coach professional women and work in the national team system there. And ultimately, what it came down to is the government contract that we were offered. The top line said that if we were to speak of our faith in Christ and literally spelled that out, we would be terminated immediately. And so we, you know, hard thing, late 20s, great, you know, great opportunity. I mean, working with the best athletes in the world for our sport and a pretty sizable amount of money and all laid out there for us. And
lifetime contract. All you got to do is not talk about what matters to you the most.
Right. You know, that kind of stopped us in our tracks. And we said,
Was that something they added because they knew you, or was that something that was on all the contracts? Because that is crazy.
No, I don't think that was in all the contracts. Uh-huh. I think they knew because we had really reached out to a lot of our players over there and even some of the board members of the organization we were with. And they, I think they got tired of it, honestly, and just said, if you're going to stay, we love what you do on the court, but we want to eliminate that as a threat. And so my wife and I, we sat down and ultimately we prayed over that and said, what are we giving these gifts for? Why are we doing this? And we were appreciative of what we had been given there. But we started praying for a new place. A good friend of mine, who's now my assistant coach, Jessica Caldwell, was the head coach at University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And I called her and I said, you know us, you know our faith. You know where we're at. We want to be in a place where we can be who we are and not be ashamed of that and not have to hide from that. And she said, well, there's this little school in Denver that's legit with their faith, but they're bad. They're not good on the basketball court. And I said, well, that's interesting. And so I sent him my resume, and Darren Ritchie called me a few weeks later. And we were down to about a week left before we had to make a decision on this contract offer. And Darren called and he said, about 4 a.m, didn't think about the time difference. The guy called me.
I know Darren, but he's normally sharper than that.
Oh man. Well, I don't know if he cared. He called me and he said, well, you're
wake up. I got a message.
Here's some questions. We're going to interview you. The job's open, but we're down to two finalists already. And I said, well, who are the finalists? And he told me two very, very good finalists. And he said, well, the girls got together, prayed about, and they said they wanted at least one male candidate for the job. And the two finalists they had were females and were awesome coaches, great people. And I said, those are the best coaches you're going to find. Those are great coaches. And he said, well, I still need to do the interview, so here's your interview. And goes through the questions. Well, we talked for 3 hours and come to find out everything that Krista, my wife, and I wanted as far as an experience in coaching. It lined up with what he was asking for. He wanted a long-term commitment. He wanted somebody that was going to be in it to serve the kids, but still, you know, make a huge impact on the community around CCU. So that's how we ultimately got here. It was an unorthodox journey, but, we packed up our bags, played in the Australian Championships in August, packed up our bags and got here 2 days before the girls. So we're here.
And I want to meet who you brought along today in studio. First, Kate Laughlin. Saying it wrong?
Maybe. Laughlin.
Yeah, I had it wrong here.
That's fine.
Laughlin. Kate Laughlin. Tell us about where you're from, Kate.
I'm from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And how'd you get into basketball, and how'd you wind up playing for this guy?
So my dad was actually an All-American in high school for basketball, and my mom played college basketball. So it was just kind of a lifestyle for me all growing up. It was just like, you know, play basketball, and that's what you do.
Out on the driveway.
Out on the driveway.
With the folks.
Yep, definitely. All the time.
So natural at it or had to work?
Had to work, But, you know, got a younger brother to help me work, so that was good.
Good. So what's the best part about playing for this coach?
He knows a lot about basketball, and that's awesome because you definitely find a lot of trust in that, and he's very detail-oriented, which is really good.
What are you good at on the floor?
He would know that better than I would.
Don't be humble. What's your high game this year?
Points. Like 24?
She's great. That's good. A lot of people haven't ever scored 24. Mm-hmm. Especially Bob Belts, my co-host. He was a football player, wrestler.
That's fine. Each to their own.
Okay, so now let's meet.
If you score 24 in wrestling, you're really good. But I'd have to explain that to you because you probably don't know how
it's
wrestling
a point
works.
System, but I don't know where it stops. So, Jessica Murdoch, and you're from a small town just outside of a really small town in Nebraska.
Yep.
And how did they find you there?
That was kind of a crazy story, too. We all think we got here, obviously, because of God, but a God thing. But I didn't even want to play college basketball. Well, I wanted to play, but I was like, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm from Podunk Town. I never played in AAU or any tournaments to really get me looked at by other colleges. And my cousin, she played at Chadron State, and she said, well, hey, my friend just backed out of a camp in Colorado. Would you want to go? And it was called Point Guard College. Anyway, so I was like, whatever. I should probably go because she has no one else to go with. So,
how tall are you, by the way?
5'9". 5'8", 5'9".
If you're 5'9", I'm 7'2".
give or take a couple inches. Anyways.
Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, no.
Whatever they put in the program, that's how tall you are.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, so the men's coach actually found me and told him, Coach Hayes, I guess, about me, and then I ended up at CCU. So it was just not what I expected, but totally amazing God story about, like, how I furthered my faith just by coming here and all that.
Tell me what the team does as a team in terms of faith issues. Their pregame prayer, midweek Bible studies, what all do you do?
We do it all, pretty much.
You stop on the court before each shot and...
Hey, I mean, free throws, they're a struggle. You got to throw up a prayer every now and then.
That's it.
No, but we pray before every game and after every game. We actually, at the end of games, we ask the other team to pray with us and pray for them, pray for injuries, really, whatever's going on with them. And we really just want to be encouraging after a game. So we ask, you know, if we can pray for them mostly. And we get the opportunity to – we have chapels twice a week too, and we as a team, like, we decided that we should go to every chapel. Like, it's an option, but we like to go. And we also
the whole
have
roster goes.
Yeah. Good. We also have in-team devos. Like, we have meetings in, during the week. Sometimes – most of the time, other teams will just meet to go over scout and stuff, but we'll have two-hour meetings just about, like, how we're doing and, like, what's God doing in our lives and stuff like that. So that's really cool.
That's really cool. Let's go back over here to Kate. And Kate, forever, the rest of your life, you're going to be a college basketball player at a Christian university, and you got to be proud of that.
Yep, definitely.
So your own faith in Christ started what?
I grew up in a really strong Christian home. So it started at a very early age, like memorizing Bible verses, memorizing them when you were really little, to I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart when I was about 7. And remember that day very, very vividly after reading the chapter of Luke 16, rich man, poor man, a bunch of really cool things with that.
Hang on just a second, Bob. Is it possible at age 7 you can actually make a decision and receive Christ?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think God really honors that too, because I know a lot of people that made a commitment very young and then really drifted for years and years, and when they get kind of brought back around, you know, I think that's God. You know, He's honoring what happened as a, you know, as a child. And so you're great because you got to kind of stay on the journey. You know,
hopefully.
It sounds like
yeah.
So. Yeah,
I think so for the most part. I would say I kind of had another like enlightenment or revelation in my life around 14, 15 when I was in high school, and I got involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and my faith became more of mine rather than just what my parents had taught me. And it was really like just enhancing my relationship with me and Christ. And ever since then, it's been good. But, you know, we always have a lot to work on. Could always read my Bible more.
Do you ever even think a swear word on the court when you make a mistake? Does it ever even cross your mind?
Not really, because I think being in a Christian school and everything, you don't hear it that much. So I think it's easier to think it when you're hearing it all the time.
Good. That's so, why, since I'm around Bo so much, I think it even when I'm preaching, because I'm always hearing it from him. So
I tell you what, I'm around it a lot with the Nuggets and the Rockies. So yeah, but it's interesting. That's because you can train your
And I think
your mind to not even think, "Dad, burn it." You can just think, "Wow." There'll be another opportunity in a moment after that air ball I just shot.
Right. Shucks. Yeah.
What's the best victory you've had so far on the court at school?
At CCU?
Yeah.
I tell you, we've had some pretty good victories.
Give me the best. Who'd we whip and how much?
Ooh, that's hard. Last year against UCCS, I felt was pretty good. And it was pretty close to home because it was my hometown. And my whole family came. It was like 50 of them. And I would say two, though. Can I do two?
Year,
last game against Regis, I think that second half, scoring 61 points in the second half, it's kind of a cool thing.
What happened? That's like what you score in the whole game.
Got to do what you got to do, I guess.
You scored it in the second half. How many shots did you make? Every one?
More than we usually do, 75%.
75%.
Crazy, yeah.
Okay, what's your greatest victory in the classroom or in your relationship with Christ since you've been in school?
Oh, wow. In the classroom, it would probably just be, I don't know, doing really well on finals.
Good.
Getting those done and getting A's and you're like, all right.
All right, I'm going back over the coach here for a minute. You got two beautiful girls here, blonde. Are you looking for just all blonde, beautiful players?
Well, Bo, you probably wouldn't know this. We were playing in a summer league this summer and not all of our girls were here yet. But probably three quarters of them are.
Are blonde and
so
beautiful. Okay.
The whole lineup at that time was, and I had people coming up going, "Really, Tim? Is this is all you recruit?"
Oh, so you've heard this before.
Hey, it works out. It works out. Best looking team and best playing team in the RMA.
And these are starters and stars.
Yep. Jessica's a 4-year player for us and has been just an unbelievable influence on our team. Came in probably little known player, little recruited player, and came in, worked hard, and now is one of our senior captains and number three in the league in scoring right now. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Killing it. Killing it.
I never saw a shot in college ball at CU that to me didn't feel like I was wide open. I liked every shot that
that's
came
Jessica up. That's Jessica Murdoch right there.
You put it up. You like putting it up? Yeah, what the heck? If you got it, you might as well share it with the team and the rest of the world.
You bet. You bet. So Kate Loudon came in last year off of a state championship team at Air Academy and came in, I think probably was our fourth or fifth post to start the year last year. We had some injuries and she ends up starting at that game at UCCS that she was talking about, or actually came in when our post got injured and ended up being an all tournament team performer in the RMAC tournament. So just absolutely proved that she could do it. And when she got the opportunity, I don't think she ever looked back. I mean, this year's just been a continuation of that. She's our top scoring post, had a 24-point game the other night against Regis. And judging by what she looks like in practice right now, I don't know if anybody could stop her right now in the league in the post.
That's what I'm wanting to hear from my coach right there. Nobody can stop you. Now you just got a green light to shoot.
Hey, she doesn't miss a shot either. She doesn't. She's not going to pass one up either.
That's good. That's the kind of team I like. Sox Walseth, unfortunately, like I said earlier, he for some reason didn't see it that way. In fact, the greatest player in Colorado's history, maybe Chauncey Billups better, but Cliff Mealy was an All-American a couple years, and he broke the field house record one night in Boulder. Thank goodness he broke the record because the crowd was chanting his name, Mealy, Mealy. And three times in a row, I came down, cast it up from about 25 feet, actually hit two of them. Coach calls the timeout and pulls me out, and he says, "Do you think that's your name they're chanting?" Quit shooting. I said, "Well, Coach, I'm wide open." He said, "Well, sit down here next to me and watch the rest of the game."
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was always in trouble. So where do you want to go with this program? What's the big dream here? Where are you heading?
You know, we have a couple. When we got to CCU, one of the things I prayed about on the way over from Australia was what we could do to take this small college program that didn't have any history of success on the court, literally didn't, hadn't had a winning season. And what could we do? How could God use this to really expand his kingdom and to influence people? And two things came to mind that were pretty interesting things that I wasn't sure I really wanted to tell the girls at the time. But God just kind of gave me the strength to do it. And one was that we were going to win a national championship within 5 years. And then the second was that we were going to impact 1 million people through what we do, through speaking and through radio shows like this and through camps and clinics and then the arenas that we play in. And
you got 1 million to cover today.
Yeah, today.
We
think,
hey,
I bet
it's
pretty close.
We think
there's 1 million
Sunday
listening.
Morning, I bet it's pretty close.
So you're done with that. Scratch that off your list.
You know, so we, you know,
check
4 years into it, had a challenging season, kind of like not too unlike this year with injuries and things. And we went on to win the Christian College National Championship that year, which was the first in our school's history for any sport. Went on about a 10-game win streak to get that done. And just a phenomenal, phenomenal story that ultimately launched a platform. And what happened was a year later, or a little under a year later, the FCA National Magazine, Fellowship of Christian Athletes National Magazine, decided to do a story, like a cover story about our program during March Madness. And so they called and did a story and said, well, you won a national championship. Tell us about your faith and the journey and the whole thing. And I told him this story about the 1 million people. And he said, well, Tim, where are you at with that? And I said, honestly, it was such a big thing God had put in my heart. I hadn't really thought about it since. And so he goes, well, why don't we figure it out now? Where are you at? And so we sat there for about an hour and tallied up every event, everything we had done, ministry, mission trips, the whole thing over the previous 5 years. And he goes, wow, you know, that's, you guys are probably touched in different ways about 500,000 people, being a small college program. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's really incredible. You know, this, and then being a coach, I'm looking at what could be, you know, still done. And I said, well, that leaves 500,000 people we still got to go reach. And he goes, Tim, do you know how many of these magazines are going to be distributed across the country? I said, I have no idea. He goes, Tim, this issue is our largest issue, 500,000.
There you go.
And I said, amen. You know, that's what we're about is yes, we want to win championships. And we still have an unreached one. We want an NCAA Division II championship, and that's where we're going next. You know, but at the same time, we want ultimately to reach people. And win or lose, like Jessica said earlier, win or lose, we've had unbelievable stories of people coming right down on the court and giving their lives to Christ after a game we lost. And because we were willing to spend that time and kind of humble ourselves and say it's really not about us at this point. You know, there have been some amazing testimonies with that. So it's an ongoing journey and it's a process, but you know, ultimately the big goal there is adding to the kingdom.
Well, I hate to sound like y'all's grandpa, but I'm really proud of all of you because I tell the Nuggets at chapel all the time, there's plenty of 6'10" talented people that are going to watch them on TV that night and sitting at home eating Eskimo pies who don't want to put in the work, and they're going to be wondering, how come I didn't get to play in the NBA? And there's that kind of people looking at you all too. So I'm proud of what you've done and what you're doing every day. I know how hard it is to go to practice and listen to him. Is Krista there too, hollering?
She's in medical school right now, but she's tougher than I am. So they're getting a break right now.
Good. Well, keep up the good work. It's pretty cool, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I got this little company called Game Day Memories. We've been distributing tickets out. So if can the team take tickets like that and come to a ball game? See the Nuggets? Yes. But we have to do it under the table.
Probably. Hey, I'll ask my boss on that one.
Don't ask him. He'll take the tickets for his own crowd.
He'll sell them fundraiser.
Be X.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But we'll do that.
That would be awesome, Bill.
And would you pray, Bob, for their ministry, what they're doing, and that the listeners tuned in would somehow tune in to CCU, tap in some way to all the good things going out there right here in our town.
I would love to. Lord, we want to thank you for, first of all, for Tim and these ladies' lives and just what you've done individually in their lives, Lord. And we want to pray for CCU. We're grateful for Bill and the others there that have such a vision for not only quality education, but one that honors you. And we pray for the team this year that you'd bless them and continue to use them. And, Lord, that that this would just be a phenomenal year for them. And we would just ask this in your name, Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And will y'all make me a promise? When you get back, get on your computers and look up the name JoJo White. He was a star at Kansas. He was a star with the Boston Celtics. And I guarded him his last game in college. And I put the blanket on him and held him to his career high.
Bo's humble.
It's notable and memorable for me. Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Lawrence, Kansas. So keep up the good work, y'all, and tell Armstrong I'm crushed that Belts spoken to Chapel and I haven't.
Will do.
Thank you.
I had to help produce a movie to get there, though, so, you know.
Oh.
It was a Wilberforce thing. Actually, I said I'd bring movies for all the students.
And I need to do something, you're saying, with my life. Okay.
Yeah.
No, all right, I'm going to give them the
tickets.
You
should be there.
If I give them the tickets, now I'm speaking to Chuck.
By the way, I think it's amazing, 1,000 kids. I mean, is that optional?
It's optional.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a certain number they have to get for the year, yeah. But I would say it's about half, and I'd say most show up.
It was
time.
Great experience. I was just blown away about how many kids were there. So,
when's the next game?
Tomorrow night.
Yep. God's blessing, and thanks for tuning into the show. You all have been great guests.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Turn, turn, turn. There is a season.